This is the very biblical office of deaconess. Now, many churches have deaconesses. Yes, they do. But when we say deacon, we mean the office of deacon usually. It's biblical. 1 Timothy 3:10, Paul talks about the office of deacon, given the necessary qualifications. What we have is a word that's a very interesting word, diaconus. It simply means servant. In its verb forms, it means serving. And it's a very common word. Look it up in a Greek dictionary, like an Englishman's Greek dictionary. You'll see that in its noun and verb form, it's used over 100 times. The word as an office of a deacon, like Mike and Richard are here, is only used 5 or 6 times. Very rare. It isn't used very often in its office. But there's places that it's being used many times in a way you wouldn't recognize it in English. Angels came to Jesus and ministered to him after the temptation. Jesus himself came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. It's the form of the word diaconus. In John 12, there was a supper and Mary served, a form of the word diaconus. Luke 8, 2 and 3, interesting little insight that we get only from Luke of how Jesus supported himself. You ever wonder how Jesus supported himself in his ministry? Here's 12 apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ on a preaching tour going through the countryside. How did they support themselves? Well, sometimes they were taken in and sometimes they were helped. But there were other times that there were women, according to Luke chapter 8, 2 and 3, wealthy women, obviously, women of means, that helped support them in their preaching tours so they could do such a work of God that way. And the word used there is they provided for them. The word, a form of the word diaconus. Now, just for conclusion's sake, turn to Romans chapter 16. There's so many places we could go, and the subject is very broad. But I hope this will really make the point about the ministry of women in a positive way and in a helpful way. We must never think that there is no ministry of women and that there is no role for women, because there certainly is. And it's a vital role. And we find this in Romans 16. And what we see is Paul just writing greetings. Writing greetings to people that he loves, writing greetings to friends, writing greetings and salutations to folks that are very much like us, but they lived in the first century instead and they knew the Apostle Paul, or Paul knew of them. This chapter, Romans 16, features 33 names. 24 of the people mentioned were in Rome. 17 of them were men. 7 of them were women. Of the rest of them, the 9 people that remain, they were in Corinth, where Paul was when he wrote this letter. 8 that he mentions were men. And 1 was a woman. And it really shows us the interaction that goes on even in the Christian church between men and women and the ministry of women and service. For he starts right out talking about a woman. Verses 1 and 2. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who's a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in such a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of. For indeed, she's been a helper of many and of myself also. Now, those that do believe in the office of deaconess use Phoebe as their example here, because that word that you just saw there, that she's a servant of the church, is a form of the word diaconess, and it's in the feminine form because Phoebe's a woman, obviously. And so it'd be the right thing to do to put it in the feminine form. But what do we learn from a passage as this? I don't think we learned that she was a deaconess and there was an office that we're not told about elsewhere in Scripture that exists and that Phoebe happened to hold it. It's a commendation from Paul, number one, to the church in Rome of a woman that they had probably never met because she was in Corinth. But as best as we can tell, she's probably the one that's going to actually carry this letter of Romans from Corinth to the Roman church. And if you just take your Bibles in the back, you can look at it later on a map, you'll see that all you have to do is hop on a boat and you can sail your way over to Rome. And that's evidently what Phoebe was going to do. This is a commendation of her that this epistle is a legitimate epistle from the Apostle Paul and not a forgery, because there were forgeries that went out and went around that way. And she was used of the Lord to deliver it. And so we see that, this commendation being used for that reason. And we see she's a worthy woman who's been a helper to many, including Paul himself. She was a servant with a servant's heart. And what we can see in a nutshell here, just from this little commendation of Phoebe, is that women can be valuable and trusted helpers in the work of the gospel. And there's no necessity for formal office to ministry. I mean, is it only elders and deacons that are supposed to minister in the church? What kind of a church would that be? That's all that there was that ever did anything for the cause of Christ and for the cause of the gospel. And something else should be mentioned about Phoebe. Well, she's named after a goddess. It was a very prominent goddess. And it's doubtful that Christian parents would have done that. That's something that was done in the first century by those that honored the gods. And Phoebe didn't change her name. She didn't need to change her name because her testimony spoke for itself of the love and grace and mercy of God and how God takes sinners and saves them and makes them to be what they weren't before. So that's what a little bit we get from Phoebe. Verse 3.